mustard seed is almost invisible to the naked eye, how small it is. Shows you how great my God is. I appreciate the prayers leading up to tonight. I will say it's been a chaotic day with my nerves at work. I don't know why, I just always get nervous.
Amen. Good thing, brother.
We're going to start in Psalms 85. I got several passages to go to. It's going to be my jumping off point this evening, and with the Lord's help, we'll get somewhere. And I was sitting there in my pew, and I had one verse picked out here, and I was kind of going over it in my head, and I turned to the chapter, and the Lord said, I want you to read more than just that one verse. So that's what I'm going to start out with. We're going to start Psalms chapter 85. I'm going to start in verse 1. It says, Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from Thy fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger towards us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? I will stop right there. That's the verse I was going to just pull out of there by itself. And just keep all this in the forefront of your mind, especially that verse 6. It says, Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? And I get to thinking a lot while I turn to my next passage. I get to thinking in a very dark day, it seems like to me. I mean, murder's running rampant in our nation today. It doesn't seem like our country's leaders are really even worried about it. They're more worried about lining their pockets and how they can advance in their own standings. They're not worried about our nation as a whole. And we've gotten so far away from what this nation was truly founded on. And I just can't help think about that. Really what we need is a revival. What we really need in this nation and just in our churches and in myself, I can't think what I really need more than anything in this world right now is a revival in my spirit from the Lord Himself. Yeah. I'm going to be scattered a little bit. I'm turning to Isaiah. If you want to turn, you don't have to. Like I said, I'm going to be in very many different passages. Isaiah 41, and in verse 10 it says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness. And jumping down to verse 13, it says, For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. I got to thinking about that verse. I mean, this is the Lord Himself saying, I'm going to hold your hand. You know, it doesn't matter what you're going through. I'm going to hold your hand. It doesn't matter the way the nation goes. I'm going to hold your hand. Turning to Isaiah 49, verse 16. It says, Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Yeah. Now this is not only taking my hand, but he is actually graven
me into His hand. I can't help but think, the Lord has taken me and made me a part of Him. You know, and that's what happened when He saved me, when He came into my life. I mean, He brought the Holy Ghost inside of me, and I am His, and He's mine. I'm going to turn now to John chapter 10, starting in verse 28. I have given unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Going back to my first passage, like I said, I can't help but think what I need more in this nation is, more than anything in this nation, is a revival in my spirit, in my soul. What I can't help but think about is, you know, when revival comes, Brother Danny, when I'm open to revival from the Lord Himself, is, you know, what I can see is people see the power of God. People see, I can see people getting saved if we would just open ourselves to revival and want revival from the Lord. Brother Robert testified just a little bit ago, and he's still the same God. He's still sitting in the same seat He was sitting in. He's still in the same place. He's still holding the same power. Amen. Yeah, are you listening tonight? He's still in control. It doesn't matter. What we need more now than anything in the world is a revival. You know, I can't help but think in my own life, what my family needs more than anything in this world is a revival. It's a touch from the Lord Himself. You know, I can't help but think, you say, you know, we're in such a dark time. Well, we're in such a time where, you know, like I said, everything's running rampant. Nobody's really worried about the Lord. That's fine. They don't need to. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about me. I'm not worried about what the president's doing tonight. I'm worried about what's going on here in the church house tonight. You know, I want to pray for my leaders. Don't get me wrong what I'm saying. But what I'm worried about is setting up a place where the Lord can come in and touch us tonight, or we can see sinners get saved, or we can see saints get a touch in their heart and get a burden for these sinners. You know, I can't help but think we want to take into consideration about this. You know, we all want to talk about this. Well, what about them old time revivals? What about them old time camp meetings, Brother Danny? You know the difference between that and now? I can't help but think about is those people really wanted it. I can't help but think the question that comes to mind is, how bad do we really want it? Over in James 4, verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. That first part of that verse, draw nigh to God and He'll draw nigh to you. How close do you want to get to God tonight? How much of a revival from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself do you want in your heart? I said earlier, you know, we live in a dark time. But with as how dark of a time we live in, how easy is it if we'd shut the lights off right now and I'd put a candle right here at the corner of this pulpit? You could see that light. You could see that light just that one candle would put off. My question is, are we being that candle in this dark world we live in? We go out through the week and we go out, you know, and live our lives, you know, in this dark world. We call it, you know, we live in such a dark world. Everybody always talking about how terrible the world is. And I completely agree. But are we being the light? Or are we, that Sunday school song comes to my head, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Are we letting our light shine, or are we hiding it under that bush? You know, are we being that light? Are we having that desire in our heart for the Lord to come and revive us in such a way that people say, man, that person's different. Man, I mean, there's something different about that person. You know, and are we desiring opportunity to invite them to church? And when we get them to church, have we set the mood in the church to allow the Lord to work? Have we set the mood, you know, in the church for the preacher to be able to come in and preach whatever he needs to preach? For the Lord to touch our preacher's heart and allow him to preach and have liberty to preach whatever he needs to preach. So those people, those sinners that are coming in under the power of the Holy Ghost can feel conviction and get saved. You say, Brother Jonathan, but if the Bible talks about these end times, how the heart of many will wax cold, and all they're worried about is getting their ears tickled and their feelings not hurt. That's true. That's all true. But what I'm saying is I still serve the God that still saves. I still serve a God. Over in Ezekiel 37, you know, he took dry bones, dead dry bones. There was no life whatsoever. And he molded them, put flesh on them, and breathed life. And you mean to tell me that we're so caught up in the end times that he can't bring one person in here and get saved? I can't help but think tonight that what I want, there's been opportunities that I've missed that the Lord has designed and set up, and by my choice, I chose not to act upon them. And it's been my fault that somebody has walked out these doors and possibly never come back. And you say, Brother Jonathan, you're treading on dangerous grounds there. I mean, what are you trying to say? I'm saying I might be held responsible for somebody. And that's dangerous. What I want, what I'd love to see, Brother Danny, is the fact that we get so on fire, we get so revived from the Lord. Now, I don't want Brother Danny, the worst thing I'd want is for somebody to just act on what I'm... I want the Lord to do it in their heart, just like salvation.
That's right.
I don't want them to say, you know, we talk about just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, salvation, and that's wrong, you know, but I want people to get truly revived by the Lord, because what I want is when somebody brings their granddaughter in, and, you know, because their kids don't come, but their kids allow that mama or papa to bring that granddaughter in, I want the Lord to be able to do a work on that granddaughter. She can go back, because if she's a light, she can be a light to her parents. That grandparent can be a light to their kids or their grandkids. Those parents can be a light to their kids or their grandparents. I mean, can I ask you, if I may ask you tonight, I mean, how much of a burden have we had for our aunts and our uncles? And, you know, we talk about our kids and we talk about our fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers. But what about our extended family? But they're not so much, they're not just our extended family, all our family. And I'm not just talking about mine and my wife and my son. Brother Danny, I'm talking about your family. Brother Justin, I'm talking about your family. Brother Todd, you all, everybody in this church is, we're one family. And so, Nathaniel, if me and you are family, then your family's my family, right? Amen. And Brother Shank, me and you are brothers in Christ, your family's my family. And Brother Shank, you started hitting on that today and this evening. And I said, he's going to take my points. I said, he's up there talking about where I'm going to preach. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, where are we at? Where, I mean, do we come in and just go through the motions? And I'm preaching to myself right now. But why is it? Why is it when there's kids up here on the altar, why aren't we coming up and praying with them? Why is it? Why is it? Why are the kids showing the parents how to come to the altar? The parents are supposed to be the example. I'm preaching to myself now. Please don't get upset at me. But where are we at? What about if I see Brother Robert's kids up here? Why am I not up here praying for him? Brother Robert's my brother. His family's my family. Brother Shank hit on Sunday, and it's absolutely true. We've really dropped the ball preaching on hell, because hell's real. And by the grace of God, I don't want to see anybody go to hell. But what am I doing to prevent it? What am I doing to show somebody that this salvation is all it's really cracked up to be? This salvation is real. This experience from the Lord Jesus Christ and from when He touched my heart and saved me is real. It's the real deal. You know, it's worth it. You know, what am I doing? Am I coming in with a smile on my face, or am I coming in sitting on my pew and say, "Bless me if you can"? You know, what are we doing to show people? I can't help but think, you know, what are we doing on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights? Are we getting with the preacher and backing him up, or are we just sitting there, you know, and all these kids? We have a lot of kids in our church. Are we showing them how to continue on? They're the future church. If we don't show them how to continue on in these ways and have a habitation for the Lord to really come in and sit in and feel the presence of God, what's going to happen? I don't know when the Lord's coming back. It could be 50 years. I don't know. I hate to see the world in 50 years, but it could be. What are we doing? I want a revival. I want to feel the Lord's touch every time I walk in the door. I want to feel the Lord's touch before anybody even has to say anything. I want to be able to walk through them double doors and feel the Lord touch my heart and say, I'm here. He's with me all the time because He's inside me. But that touch that you can feel, Brother Danny, when you get in a gathering of people that come together in one accord and want to praise Him for what He's done and how good of a God He's been, even on my worst day, He's a great God. Amen. I mean, are you hear what I'm saying? I mean, on the worst day, He is still in control. He, for some reason, He has set that day up to be that way. I don't know why, but He has. He has set that those hard days up when you get up and you're like, man, everybody just seems to be, I mean, they just got their sights set on me that I am the target today. Well, amen. Well, guess what? You're saving somebody else from being the target. Okay? I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. God's still great. It doesn't matter. I could be having the worst day in the world. God's still great. He's still in control. And all I want to say is that I want to revive in my own heart, Brother Danny. I want to feel the presence of God so thick that sinners can't come in and just sit on the pew. I want them to come in and say, man, I gotta do something. Something's got a hold of me. I don't know what else to do but go to that altar, do what the preacher's telling me, cry out and repent, and see sinners get saved. That's what I want. You know, I mean, you know what would help? What would fix our nation is people getting saved. I mean, that's just the flat. That's it. I mean, what would help fix the nation is people getting saved. I can't help think about them young kids that I see people bring, those mamas and papas bringing, and how they're light, how they can be a light. You know, and the Lord can use them even at 3 or 4 years old. I mean, what if that little girl or boy goes home and says, Mom, Dad, I heard in church. Now you mean to tell me the Lord can't use that to grab a hold of that parent? The Lord can't use that and prick that parent's heart and say, what am I doing? I need to go to church with my kid. Lord can do whatever He wants.
Amen.
He's God. Who am I to stand in His way? And that's what I want. I want to get out of the way. I want to feel the Lord. I want to feel revival in my heart. I want to be able to stand up and shout. I want to be able to scream. I want to jump the pews if the Lord tells me to do it. If that's what it takes to get the Lord in here, that's what I want to do. I want to be revived. The Lord can do it. He revived them dry bones. Why shouldn't we be revived? I mean, why should we, you know, we go through life and, oh, I can't do that. They might say something. Man, He's got me etched, engraved in His hand. Who are they? Who are they that He's got me engraved in His hand? What are they going to do? What is that in eternity? So what if they make fun of me? I had some guys at work today. They kind of fooling around, but I think they might have... I don't know, they're getting nervous sometimes. They said, Jonathan, you need us to come in our wheelchairs and canes with dark glasses so you can smack me in the forehead and I can get up and say I'm healed? I said, no, I don't need that. They said, why not? I said, because I got the Lord. That's all I need. And they looked at me like I was crazy. That's all right. I said, I am kind of crazy. I said, I want to get crazier. I want to get crazier about God. I want to get crazier about the Lord. I want to feel His power. I want to be able to go and them say, man, what's gotten into you? I want to be able to pray for somebody and right there. I mean, right if need be in the middle of the street and have the Lord all over me in such a way that even a lost person would feel, man, that was something special. Revival. These people, the passage in Psalms, they said, revive us again. They had been revived once. And I can't help but think about the time I was first revived, Brother Danny, when the Lord saved me. It came into my heart and brought conviction on me. Brother Hyatt was preaching, and he was preaching when I fell under conviction. He was preaching on, are you binding Christ? Are you binding Christ? And that's when I really fell under conviction. And, I can't help but think 2 days later, the Lord come by my way, saw fit to come by my way, Lord, Brother Danny, and save my soul. And I can't help but think that was the first time I felt revived in my life. The first time I felt revival in my soul, the Lord brought to life. The Holy Ghost come into my life and into my heart and saved me and brought that Spirit to life. I can't help but think the word revive, you know, and this might be a worldly example, but when you're on the hospital bed and they're going to shock you, you know, they're going to revive you. That's what they call it. They call it reviving you, you know, and they clear and boom, you know. But, you know, I can't help but think even those, I don't know how many thousands or whatever volts, man, they hit you with. That was nothing like the time the Lord and the Holy Ghost hit me and revived my spirit. All in one shot, it's like the Lord said, clear! And it was done. In the blink of an eye. No question. revival. That's what I want. That's what I want for me. No shame.